You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to what we believe to be episode 134 of the M Squared TechCast.
Yep, that's it.
Well, after this many, who's counting anymore?
Right.
I can't count that
Moving
high.
Up on 3 years in September.
Yeah, how about that? And they said it wouldn't last.
Yep.
We've got a great show for you here today. We've got Airfoil Digital's John Pilak. We've got Buy Michigan Now founder Lisa Diggs going to be calling in. Inform Engage director Timber Shea is here for her regular monthly visit, and she's going to interview a fascinating entrepreneur, Elizabeth Michelle. And we've got a great new program, at least it's new to me, called Accelerate Kid, that's talking about kids and coding and high-tech careers. Tan Tran is going to be here talking about that, but we're going to start with Airfoil Digital President John Pilak. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm pretty up to speed on this. I was briefed twice, actually. Once in April before you announced, and then I ambushed you over lunch. So
never ambushes anybody.
No. The old days. That would be the old days. I'm now the mild-mannered publisher and all this other stuff. Kind of boring, but hey. Tell us a little bit about it. I know all about it, but and hopefully you know all about it because you're the president, right? So you would know those things, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so how is it going to be different from Airfoil Group, or how are you going to support Airfoil Group moving forward?
Well, technically, Airfoil Group is turning into an umbrella, and then it's spun off into two different agencies. One's Airfoil Communications, which is the Airfoil Group that you've known and loved.
For 18 years now.
Nearly 20 years, exactly, right? Took care of Microsoft, eBay Motors, Parrot, all those guys, right? So that's Airfoil Communications. That's that side of the house. Mm-hmm. And then Airfoil Digital is the new agency that I'm there building. So communications is more about PR and communications that you're familiar with.
Yep.
So that's really top of the funnel.
Yep.
And digital deals more with bottom of the funnel. Mm-hmm. So that deals
what
with
comes out of the sausage machine.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So lead generation, demand generation, ROI, rev gen, all that good stuff.
And that's going to be used how? Do you go back to the clients and say, gosh, we put your message out and this is what happened? Kind of like that?
Well, the idea is that, especially with Airfoil's existing client base, they're really satisfied from a communication standpoint, but now helping them convert it. So most of these clients, especially in mid-market, the struggle that they have is not necessarily talking to their audience, but it's actually turning it into revenue. And that's what the challenge.
I know all about that.
Right?
That is the challenge.
So we've got all this information. We've got all this exposure. How do we use that, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Give us some examples. Without naming names, I know you told me a few of the clients, but and some of the previous clients, and I'm really sworn to secrecy on those, but
yes, you are. Very good.
So I'm your client, and you got all this data. What are we going to do with this, and how is this going to help me?
Well, so it depends on the client. It depends on what your scenario is. Some of them lean more toward product development. Some of them are service. Some of them are B2C. Some of them are B2B. So it all depends on the flavor. It's definitely not a one-size-fit-all. But let's just tell a story here about a particular scenario. One dynamic might be that's very, very common in mid-market is someone's trying to innovate. They're trying to differentiate themselves in their market, which is a big challenge. What we're able to do is help them kind of perform something called growth hacking. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but the idea is using more nimble experimental techniques for marketing to help them reach that audience and, most importantly, learn from that marketing to help influence their product design or their service model. and what they are actually creating to mm-hmm. reach that market. A lot of times it's like trying to sell with traditional marketing. You're trying to sell popsicles to Eskimos, which is not really how it works anymore. Uh-uh. You learn dynamically from the market to help change your business model. And that's what we help do.
Like a virtual focus group.
There you go. And it should be constant and ongoing. Uh-huh. So the idea with marketing these days, especially with digital marketing, is that you are in a constant state of learning. You're not just talking.
And I know from our previous talks that you have a strong background in product strategy, design, and that sort of thing. Learned all that at Vectorform before you went on your own, and then you got recruited by Lisa a couple months ago, right?
Well, I was doing some independent consulting, had a lot of those clients that we're not talking about, and exactly, right?
Yes.
And one of those clients was Lisa.
If you email me, I'll tell you the clients, but I can't do it on the air. So.
And one of those clients was Lisa. Huh? But a lot of my time was spent with venture capital, private equity, helping mm-hmm. them evaluate a lot of tech startups.
Uh-huh.
And Lisa wanted a little bit of help with her strategic plan for Airfoil Group, Airfoil Communications. I helped her with that. And a byproduct of that was the plan for Airfoil Digital, and she asked me to build that for her. So that's how that came about. I mean, the reason why I ended up doing that, it's not necessarily product-based, but there's a few reasons. One is that Airfoil has a really great reputation, really great culture. Secondly, I noticed that with mid-market and a lot of startup firms, you know, we talked earlier, those guys have a hard time communicating to their audience, and PR does a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing digital on top of that to generate revenue is, is kind of solving a huge need there.
Yep.
And then another big issue is that we're losing soft skills in society, losing soft skills in the workplace. And I really felt that PR and communications were the future of addressing that.
So when it comes to digital agencies, it seems like there's a never-ending stream of new boutique shops. A lot of the large agencies are struggling in this market. Most clients with decent budgets are hiring this expertise in-house. So what prompted Airfoil to create another digital agency? What's the play here?
It's funny. Our clients come to us because they're struggling to generate leads and to convert those leads into revenue. That's what it all comes down to. Most agencies, they have a tendency to work on creating something shiny or sexy, something that doesn't necessarily convert into ROI, right? Large agencies in particular have a really hard time with this because by their engagements, by definition, are, well, large, right? So they have a hard time dealing with this space because digital marketing, really good digital marketing and growth hacking, is done with extreme limitations in time and budget. And that's where we are really strong. That's where we perform highly.
Okay. So AI and automation technologies are at the intersection of nearly everything now. Do you think PR and digital marketing are at risk of extinction? Interesting question. Due to these technologies being applied in the workplace?
So back to that comment about soft skills, right?
Yep.
I mean, advances in technology and automation, it's eroding our ability as a society to connect with each other as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're noticing that with each generation. So I do see agencies like Airfoil, PR, communications type firms having a real opportunity to own that gap in skills, and to really be able to elevate it. That'll mean adapting their capabilities, their offering, their service model over time, which isn't certainly achievable, but the market is definitely there for it. So I don't see that being an issue. Digital marketing, I mean, I'll be honest with you, most of what we do in digital marketing is likely going to be handled by artificial intelligence at some point in time because most of it is just interacting with data. Where I mentioned growth hacking or things like product market fit, I think that there's a lot of elements of experimental marketing where communications informs product design, this rapid fire style marketing becoming this engine where revenue gen and product adaptation. It's constantly changing. That'll be hard to automate. That's something that needs a more consultative touch to it. So I do see digital marketing transforming into more of that type of a space.
Well, you see a lot of companies here in Michigan. Everybody seems to want to tie themselves to the word innovative or innovation. They're all trying to position themselves and leaders in that. It includes automakers, tier ones to startups. What advice do you have for everyone, upmarket, downmarket, that's chasing this innovation quotient but can struggle to find the right audience for it?
So, you know, words like we throw around words like innovation, like disruption, network effect, virality, all this stuff that revolves around the digital Google world, right? That's aspirational from a business standpoint. Everybody wants that. It's kind of like weight loss or hair loss products. I mean, you see what you want.
Both of those. But go ahead.
I don't care so much about the hair.
I gave up on that, yeah, right?
Exactly. You say I don't have it, but I really want it, and I'll invest whatever I need to in order to get it. Right? That's kind of how that rolls. So I think what I see is one major recommendation is what we've noticed is a lack of research. People will execute with communications, with digital experiences, with digital products without really understanding their market. That research then parlays into segmentation, so audience segmentation, understanding not just a broad demographic like who a Super Bowl commercial talks to, but actually really niche groups and communities of people that you can connect with, deliver to, make them super happy, and then they talk to other people, and then that's how things grow and
viral
expand.
Viral marketing of a sort, yeah.
There you go, but I am not going to use the word viral.
Oh,
because
of course not.
There we go. So I think really getting focused and compartmentalizing those audiences is a big deal. That works really well with B2C. B2B is a little bit different. There's a lot of nuances that are kind of different. B2C is more about customer acquisition. B2B is typically more about retention, but it's essentially the same formula.
I'm going to let Matt ask his question. Start off with how many, and then are you hiring? I'm not sure how big his staff is.
I was going to say, how big a staff does Airfoil Digital have at this point?
Full-time staff, we have four, and then now we are also using Airfoil Communications staff to help us stand up. So there's people over there that have dealt with social, dealt with strategy, that we're using on engagements as well.
So we got 30 or so folks in there, right?
There you go. We can just pretend that we have all 30, and that's it, and just call them Airfoil Digital.
Okay. Now, Matt, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, the Roush question I always ask of everyone who's here is, are you hiring, and if so, in which skill sets?
We are. So one of the open positions, we have two open positions. One is for head of user experience. Ooh. That's one of our three.
What does that mean exactly?
We have three service offerings. One is demand gen, one is content marketing, and one is user experience. So building interactive experiences, designing them, testing them, all that good stuff. So we'll lead for that.
The other one, quickly?
Head of project management.
Ah, that would be Matt, right?
You know? Sure. Okay, so if people want more information on Airfoil Digital, we've got about a minute to go.
About 30 seconds.
Okay.
Our studio manager here.
Okay. So how do they find more about Airfoil Digital's products and services?
This is the shameless plug. We have a bell in front of us.
Yeah, where's the bell?
Dang, bell. Right. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right, guys. Shameless plug.
Good. I didn't say it was a good bell.
No, I just said it was a bell.
Okay.
You've got airfoildigital.com. That's our website.
Yep.
And then airfoilgroup.com for the broader business.
And to reach out to you, I have your email in front of me, but you say it.
Okay. Pielak, P-I-E-L-A-K, @ airfoildigital.com.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. Airfoil Digital President John Pielak. We'll be right back with more of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And I can remember my name.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting. And you are listening.
We were on vacation, so we forget our names, right?
You're listening to the M Squared TechCast at podcastdetroit.com.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with the second segment today of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have with us calling in way out in Northvale, I think, right? Is that where
well,
you are?
Okay.
Lisa Diggs. That famous Lisa Diggs of By Michigan. Now she's going to have this festival coming up in August and downtown Northvale, right, if I believe? Yeah.
That is correct, August 3rd through 5th.
Oh, and this is your 10th year. Wow, I didn't realize you had that many years. I pulled up your website and printed out some stuff on the event. So very impressive. I didn't realize you've been at it for 10 years now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe for me, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, tell us about it. Some people, well, let's start off with probably some people have never, I know it's hard to believe, but some people may have never heard of By Michigan Now. So why don't you tell them a little bit about what that is first, and then we can talk about the festival.
Yeah, By Michigan Now is a statewide campaign to encourage people to do business with Michigan-based businesses. And when we get to the festival, a lot of those businesses are out there. And in that case, the vast majority of them are also businesses that are making products right here in Michigan.
Ah, okay. And the festival, I have the dates in front of me, August 3rd through 5th. I know it takes pretty much over downtown Northvale because I have attended in years past. It's a ways out yet, but how many vendors do you have signed up so far?
That's pretty sprawling now because now we cover about five city blocks. When you mentioned, you know, the 10th year, when I think back to year one when it was one half a block.
Yeah.
And it'll be somewhere around 175 to 180 participating businesses.
Ooh,
wow. So tell me about some of the businesses that are going to be participating this year.
Well, I will say for starters, for anybody out there that's a foodie, this is a phenomenal event to attend because not only forget about concession-style carnival food, it's about amazing products that you can taste, sample while you're there, and then purchase them on the spot and then also ask your grocery store to carry it. So that's a really cool thing. Everything from baked goods to hot sauces and condiments and things to barbecue with and all kinds of sweets and remarkable stuff that people are making. Even granola and some health food bars and
perish the thought. Where are the elephant ears? Come on
now. No. You go to festivals to eat all the junk food. Forget that healthy stuff.
You got to balance it out.
You could get yourself a good Michigan-made hot dog there as well and all okay. That kind of stuff. But it's really nice opportunity to try some things that, especially if you like to cook, try some things that can be great marinades and sauces and all that kind of stuff. So that's always phenomenal. And then we've got, you know, people doing everything from our ornaments for the backyard to ornaments for a tree, signage, furniture, toys, just a wide range of items. And then some service companies as well. You know, if you're thinking about getting some work done on your house but dread the idea of having somebody come out to you and do a quote or go into some high-pressure sales room, the great part about these events is you get some of these Michigan-based companies that are out there that do that as well. And you can have a conversation in a casual environment about the things you're thinking about doing.
Now, Matt is a Traverse City aficionado, so he's going to want something from Traverse City. Would he be able to find it there?
I believe there you may even be able to find some Cherry Republic on site.
Oh, awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
They actually have a really good wine called Cherry Red. Just pure cherry wine is a
very
little too sweet for me. But they have a nice California red that they've blended like 10% cherry into, and it gives it just a little touch of sweetness.
It's really good.
Yep, it's really good.
I like that. Yep. And then you got to have pasties from the UP, right? You got to have those.
We will. Yes, there's some pasties. In fact, there's a couple of companies actually that do pasties, and one of them makes a version that has elk meat in it.
Hmm. Elk meat. I don't think I've ever had elk meat.
I think I had it once. I went to Cabela's and had an elk burger. Tasted like a hamburger, but you know, whatever. You know.
That's a little unusual. That's a new one for us this year. So,
and then of course Jessica, our engineer here / studio manager, wants elephant ears. Right? Is that one of your things, Sarah?
Sure. Sounds good.
Probably again. That will be what you can find at carnivals more than you can at our event. We kind of step it up a notch with the types of food. But we will have somebody that's doing grilled corn right in the
Ooh,
husk.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Good.
And I think homemade limeade to go with it, which Ooh. Is really cool.
Yeah.
But there's also live music and, a kids zone, so it can be a family event as well as a great date event, depending upon what somebody likes. We have a nonprofit partner. We have a beverage garden where we'll be serving up great Michigan beers and wines.
Mm.
And our nonprofit partner for that is a group called One Earth Writing. And they are a local nonprofit that works with teens to teach them how to express themselves through writing. But the cool thing about it is that they work with kids of different backgrounds and religions and socioeconomic situations to bring them together to kind of realize how much they have in common for a more peaceful world.
Mm. So we try to stay family friendly here, even though we're not regulated by the FCC. So in the interest of family friendliness, tell us about the children's activities that are a part of this.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah,
so you had me nervous.
Wasn't going to drop any F-bombs or anything.
He's going to swear now. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there's giant Jenga and cornhole and giant checkers and a couple of inflatable things to test out their sporting skills. And there may even be a mascot or two running around, so there's a lot of fun stuff for the kids to do. And, in fact, we're doing a cornhole tournament this year, which is a new thing. And the company that is sponsoring it actually makes the cornhole boards and bags right here in Michigan. So that's another cool thing. You can come and participate in the tournament and buy yourself a set for home if you'd like, which is really cool. And we're also doing a silent auction this year. So a lot of new things for the 10th anniversary.
Cool.
Sounds like a wonderful thing to bring your wife to, man.
And that's it's the same weekend as Dearborn Homecoming, but I think I can do both.
Yeah, so. Well, it's 3 days.
You know, but we hear that a lot, and really, you can do both. And they are both really great events and different, so it won't feel like you did the same thing 2 days in a row.
Cool. All right, so that's Friday, August 3rd from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission and parking are free. Now, Lisa, tell us a little bit about Buy Michigan Now in general. How did you come to to start this thing, and what's the function of the website?
Well, it started just with a simple idea of realizing, it was 2007 and our economy was in dire straits.
Yeah.
Also, the 10th anniversary of the campaign itself was last year, and I was just looking for what can we do to make a difference, and you start thinking about where your dollars are being spent. And there was a statistic that struck me that if every Michigan household shifted $10 of our weekly expenses, collectively we could put $38 million a week back into our economy, which is $1.9 billion a year.
Hmm.
So that's picking one or two products that you might be buying a national brand of and switching over to that as a start, or the place that you get your coffee, or, and then that's not even talking about businesses. If businesses would shift the company that they buy their insurance from, or the company that's hosting their website, or somebody that's doing their design and their graphics, all those kinds of things, it's amazing the difference that we can make in our economy.
Huh. Now, I know you have some other exciting news because we share the same webmaster. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but I know that you have a new website coming out. Will it be available in time for this big festival or not?
That is a good question. I'm not honestly sure. It's on a day-by-day basis of we're in a testing functionality now, but it's going to be exciting. There are, among other things, there are 9 niche pages, industries that we've decided are going to have a page dedicated because of either the impact that we think our campaign can make on that industry or just the significance of that industry. So obviously vehicles are part of it. Technology is one because of how much that's become such an important part of of our future as a state. We're focusing on fashion and the arts, and food and beverage each have their own page. So there'll be a lot of cool content, a lot of opportunities for companies to work with us on telling us what's happening in their industry and getting the word out. We think it's going to be a really great resource for consumers, for businesses, and for teachers.
Yes, and hopefully sometime in July, since the event is coming up the first weekend in August, and that'd be a great time to launch it, right? I'll give a
mail. That's certainly the hope. We're actually a little bit behind from where we were hoping to be, so we'll see what our magical webmasters come up with.
Yes, Mailey and team, you know, so. Great. How many folks are you expecting? It's hard to predict that, but how many did you have last year? Let's start with that.
It ends up being around 30 to 35,000, depending upon how kind the weather is.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to say, too. It'll probably be blistering hot, but whether it rains or not.
No, Mike, don't even put those things out
of
the universe.
Sorry. It'll be a wonderful day. 75 degrees, sunny, clear skies. And then everybody parks down by the racetrack and walks up, right?
Yeah, I would like to dial up exactly the weather we had over the weekend.
Yeah,
if I could do that.
That would be nice. Of course, now if it's really hot, they'll consume more beer. So that would make the beer
vendors
happy.
Yeah, that is a definite positive side, and that helps the charity. And you know what? Really, there's plenty of businesses to people walk through the street, and then they walk into the local shops. Local shops in Norfolk are phenomenal, too. So you can go into the air conditioning when you need to and then come back out. So.
Now, you should have a dunking tank, and then you'd have lots of volunteers to sit in there, right, so they could take a quick dip.
Last year we actually had one day where it was so cold that only one vendor who does T-shirts actually brought sweatshirt jackets, and they almost sold out because they were the only one because suddenly in the evening it got legitimately like 62 degrees.
No kidding. Well, I think we should volunteer Matt Roush for the dunk tank. you know,
you better have a lot of extra water for when I fall in and force half of it out. But
I don't know. That makes me want to get off the phone and make a call right now and see where we can get one.
Dunk tank, right? There'll be lots of local celebrities walking around, and you can
if it's been as hot as it's been this summer, fine with me.
Yeah, it works for you. Right? Yeah. Wear that bathing suit or whatever. Yeah. You know? So. No Speedos, though, Matt.
No, well, I have a Speedo, but it's just board shorts. It says Speedo on it. But it's down to the knee, so don't worry.
Yeah. Now, is there a cost to attend this event?
There is not, and you can park for free, and you can come for free, and that's one of the reasons we like Northville, and that we do it that way purposefully, because what we really want people to do is come and spend their money with these businesses and help them grow.
Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. So any other exciting news? I mean, this is a lot of news here. New website, festival coming up. Anything else coming out of...
Actually, along with the new website, and I do think this will happen before the festival, there'll be a new mobile app as well. We are revamping our current app, and that will come out probably the week of the festival as well, which happens to be, by the way, Buy Michigan Week, proclaimed by our governor. So.
Well, maybe you can get, since this is last year, is the governor going to be attending? Do you know?
I do not believe so, no. But, you know, anything can happen.
Well, I suspect a lot of politicians will be there because that'll be just before the primary, because the primary will be the next Tuesday. I was at the Ann Arbor Independence Day Parade, and it was just nothing but politicians walking down the street. I couldn't believe it. You know,
yeah, so. I'm sure that there will be a lot of them around. We do not give booth space to anybody
that's got a
political agenda purposefully, because we don't want it to become that. But yeah, there's typically, I mean, it's a good one. I mean, if you are a politician, it is a great event to come to, if for no other reason than to connect with small businesses and hear what they're thinking.
Yeah, so. But we don't want to encourage them, right? Because they're politicians, but they'll still show up anyway, you know.
Exactly.
Hopefully
with their kids and hanging out in the kids' zone.
Yeah, very good. Well, we can't dump on them too much, although I like to as much as possible. So one more time, Buy Michigan Now. How do they find you on the web?
You can go to buymichigannow.com for the campaign overall, and specifically for the festival, it's buymichigannowfest.com.
Okay. That's Lisa Diggs, who is the founder of both of those things she just named. And I work with, my disclaimer is Lisa and I are working together, so cross-promoting each other. In fact, you owe me some ads. I saw one of my ads on your website. I owe you one.
You guys can work that out later.
We'll work it off off-air, right? All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right. Take care. That's Lisa Diggs with the Buy Michigan Now and the Buy Michigan Now Festival coming up Friday, August 3rd through Sunday, August 5th in downtown Northville. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are indeed listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University?
everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And you're back, whether you like it or not, for another segment of M Squared TechCast. By the way, that M Squared means Matt and Mike. We toyed with the idea of calling it the Matt and Mike Show, but I think somebody already on Sportsnet does that or something.
Yeah,
or
there was some conflict.
Yeah, right. So, you know, their lawyers have contacted us, and, you know, there you go. So, we have with us today, once again, Tim Burchett.
Longtime friend of the show.
It rhymed. I didn't plan that. Yeah. So, and so she's the, I always get it wrong, director. She's been yelling at me because I don't get it right. Director of the Inform Engage program. And shameless plug on what that is now. Go ahead, bring that bell.
Shameless plug. Bell, please. Thank you.
Okay.
So Inform's Engage program is our program that helps emerging second-stage women entrepreneurs actually get to the next level over the course of a year.
Okay.
To date, we've had 101 entrepreneurs participate. They've created 42 brand-new companies in addition to the ones they came in with. They've created 385 jobs across the state, been granted 35 patents, and actually I heard one more just was granted last month.
Ooh. Up to 39 now, huh? Okay.
36. 35, 36.
Okay.
36.
All right.
And
all right.
Then, he was not a math major. That's why he was a journalist. So.
Yeah, right. Reporters in math, not so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, we don't that's do awesome. That well.
And these amazing women have gone on to raise $44.2 million in follow-on funding and have acquired
now,
13.
Counting that high, I would enjoy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And $13 million in government contracts. So pretty impressive.
That's Matt's retirement plan from LTU, $44 million.
Yeah,
so
sure, right.
He'd be buying Traverse City.
Better get on it.
Yeah. And you have what you have with you today.
I do. Enough about us.
Yes.
So I have with me today Elizabeth Michelle. She's one of the co-founders of a company called Canopy Tools.
Oh.
And they're doing some really amazing things.
Okay.
So I am going to thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And let you tell us a little bit about what Canopy is and how you guys found it, you know, where you came up with the idea for the company.
You should have a Canopy hat logo.
I should, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah, so Canopy is a health technology company that is building digital tools to help people talk about and make end-of-life healthcare decisions.
Ooh.
So essentially, we're building a web application that helps people actually working similar to TurboTax, where you're asked really simple questions. And then at the end of the process, all the answers populate into a legal document that's called an advanced care directive. And then people can digitally share that with loved ones and medical providers. So questions that we cover are helping people identify their medical proxy. So that's the decision maker who will speak for them, make decisions if they can't speak for themselves. We ask questions about values that are important to them, such as belief systems that help navigate decision making for them. And then the last set of questions is around particular health interventions that they may or may not want. But we can't prepare for every single possible situation. So that's why questions on values are really important to help decision makers identify just what foundational things should they keep in mind as they're making decisions on behalf of their loved one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So who is your ideal candidate for your product? Is there an ideal sweet spot?
So essentially, it's a conversation that all of us, regardless of our age or stage of life, should be thinking about. But there are particular populations that were addressing first and foremost. So one are people who are caregivers. So for example, they have cared for or are caring for a loved one who, for example, might one health condition that we've seen a lot is dementia. So they might be caring for a loved one with dementia who can't, you know, make decisions for themselves. And that person might also be caring for children. And so they're at a position where they're like, I've see what it's like for my loved one to not know what, to not be able to share what they want. And so for my children, I want them to know what my wishes are. Mm-hmm. Other populations for us are people who are living with a terminal diagnosis. So they have some understanding that identifying their wishes is going to be important for themselves and their loved ones. And the same with people who are advancing in age.
Mm-hmm. So that would be Matt and I, right? We should probably take a look at this.
I was going to say, some of us are closer to those decisions than others. Yeah. So I can tell you.
I love to know the backstory. This is a very unusual business. Mm-hmm. So tell me the backstory on this.
So I have two teammates, Brandon Keelan and Ann Dong, and all three of us met, well, actually Ann and Brandon are high school friends, so they met in high school. Ann and I met in Rwanda while I was doing an internship, and she was doing a year-long project. Long story short, we were all...
Rwanda.
Yes,
that's
Rwanda.
Another backstory, but go ahead. Yeah, I know, going, right? Keep going with this one.
So we all were all students at the University of Michigan, mm-hmm. grad students, and we participated in a social entrepreneurship program. And the whole premise was to help students understand what is entrepreneurship and how can we identify how can we build organizations that address population health problems? So it's finding an idea that's financially sustainable but addresses a social issue. And in the process of doing this, two key things happened. The first, we were working on a completely different idea. It was going nowhere. And we were conducting interviews with caregivers, and we kept hearing some caregivers say, I have a loved one who has dementia and I don't know what they want. I wish that we had talked about this sooner. Along the same time that those interviews were happening, Brandon had gone to New York to visit a friend of his named Andrea. And while they were hanging out together, Andrea's uncle was rushed to the emergency room unconscious. Yeah. Andrea was his medical proxy, and so they called her and they said, hey, uncle's in the emergency room, we need you. So essentially she goes there, Brandon goes to support her as a friend, and she got to a place where the doctors turned to her and asked her if they could put in what's called a central line. And at this moment, she had paperwork that was his do not resuscitate paperwork, and then she's navigating the question that the doctor is asking
her. I don't even know what a central line is. What
right.
is that?
So a central line is...
is that another word for a PICC line?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right. That's if you need a lot of IV injections, they will put one of those into you so they don't have to keep poking you.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
What it's called.
Great. Yeah. I'm actually writing that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
PICC line. That was part of your questionnaire.
Right. Yeah. So it's to help, and it's along the same lines to help you, to help put in the medications and the things that are needed in order for you to essentially stay alive.
Yeah.
And so because he had a do not resuscitate paperwork, she's like, I'm not sure if this falls within or outside of what he would want. Uh-huh. So she had to navigate making that decision on his behalf. They'd never had a conversation before about his values. And so it was great that he had a medical proxy, but she didn't have a strong or at least a foundational understanding of what he might want.
Right.
So again, we can't prepare for every situation, but at least we can help people clarify what their values are and put that in a place that's accessible. Mm-hmm. So if a decision maker has to make a decision, they know where to go for information to help guide their decision making. So Andrea's story with her Uncle Frank was definitely a pivotal moment for us to realize how can we make this conversational process a little easier for folks.
Something else very cool that you're doing with the audio.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Tamer. So we are also allowing people to record their wishes in their own words through video. So that helps provide nuance that's often missing in written documentation. So it's not just the paper, but it's you can see your loved one talking about what they want. And that helps give the family peace of mind. So they know that this is my family member and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And in a situation, hopefully this doesn't happen, but in a situation where there's some type of contestation legally, then video is a really solid way of helping to prove that this is what the person wants.
And how do you shoot that, by the way? I'm just curious.
So it's through the person's own own device that they're using to complete the tool.
Oh, well, we might have a solution for you here. We have something
we're
developing.
Someone in this room is about to introduce a video platform.
Interesting. That's why I asked that question. I sensed there might be revenue there.
Hashtag shameless plug.
Absolutely. So something I was thinking about actually just driving in today, what would be the difference between a durable power of attorney and a medical, between Canopy and a medical, is it a medical power of attorney or a medical durable power of attorney
for healthcare?
Okay.
Yeah. So there is no difference. What we're helping people create that documentation for the durable power of attorney for healthcare. Now there's a durable power of attorney for things that are outside of healthcare. We're not worried about any non-healthcare decisions. We're specifically focused on healthcare. So we help people create that documentation to identify, that durable power of attorney. So, but a lot of times people are like, I don't know where to go to create this documentation. So we're like, just come to Canopy. We will help create that documentation as well as help you answer questions that are helpful for that durable power of attorney.
You know, I would think the natural connection here would be to get plugged into some law firms that deal with those sorts of issues just so they're ironclad, you know. You can go so far with one of these, but at what point is it legal or not legal? I have no idea, you know, but there's a lot of law firms that specialize in end-of-life kinds of stuff too, right?
Yeah, totally. There are a plethora of different customers that we could go towards. The first place that we are really interested in are hospitals because they are navigating these conversations or navigating the need for these conversations with a lot of people at once and oftentimes don't have the support to have the breadth of conversation that needs to happen. But definitely law firms are a place that are also navigating these conversations with their clients.
Hmm. I wasn't even thinking about today. What about financial planners who are actually laying all that out for folks too?
Yeah. Hashtag shameless plug for Jessica Willis of Pocket Nest.
I'm seeing all these partnership opportunities here. Yes. You know, everything, you're an entrepreneur, you got to think revenue all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Well, there's also plenty of funeral homes that do advanced planning with people as well. That could be part of that. So,
Yes. You guys are going through our list of customers.
So what long term, what's the revenue model for you?
So we are a business to business to consumer company. So we're looking to sell directly to businesses like hospitals who will then pass along our consumer facing product to their patients. So we would license the software to them.
And they could private label it if they wanted to?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to have a coder, there's one sitting right next to you, by the way. So, our next guest, by the way.
This is a place where networking happens.
Yeah, a lot of networking happens here.
It does, yes. We bring people together and they think of things they wouldn't have thought of before, right?
Also, a couple of real quick plugs. You've had some great things happen this year. You won a pitch competition.
Tell us the great things. A couple of things that have happened. We won Best in Bootcamp at Spark Ann Arbor. We are currently in the DeSai Accelerator at Ann Arbor, Michigan, in Ann Arbor. So it started in June, ends in September. Last year we were one of the graduate student competition winners in Accelerate Michigan, also through Michigan Business Challenge. So just a couple different
Made a few bucks out of that?
Yeah, just a few.
So great things. So tell us, how do people find out more about Canopy?
Yes. To find out more about us, you can go to our website, canopy.tools, T-O-O-L-S, and you can also follow us on Twitter at withcanopy. Definitely go to our website and sign up, though, because you can sign up for our mailing list and be on the lookout for any new news and just things that we're doing over the next few months. So
we got to get you some embroidered logo kind of
stuff,
you know?
Yeah, I actually chatted with my team, and we talked about sweatpants and T-shirts today. Oh,
yeah. You got the art fair coming up here. That'd be a great idea. You're going to have a booth there, right?
That is very true.
Yeah.
That's terrific. What else should we know? Are you guys hiring by any strange chance?
That's a great question.
That's
Matt,
fine. Timber can
have it. All right, he can have it. All right.
So we are not hiring right now, but if you sign up on our website, you'll know when we are hiring.
Ooh,
that's another shameless plug.
Another incentive there. Yeah.
Well done.
A natural entrepreneur.
Very, very nice. And we are...
Well, One last chance to plug, inform, engage.
Super quick. Any emerging second stage women entrepreneurs similar to Elizabeth would love to talk to you. We're getting ready to start ramping up for recruiting for the 2019 cohort. So www.inforummichigan.org.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tim Brochet from Inforum Michigan's Engage program and her guest, Elizabeth Michel, co-founder of Canopy. And we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're on the fourth segment of the 134th show.
Yep.
I can't do the math on that. So we'll just call it, hey, we're back after a short vacation.
And we're still talking.
We are, yes. Yeah. And we have with us, and I'm going to get this right, I promise, Tan Tran.
That is correct.
I got it. I was working on that all the last hour or so, you know, trying to get it right. And he is, are you the founder of the program? What do I call you?
Yes, I am the founder and owner of Accelerate Kid.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, because I had that in my notes from a month ago when you guys approached me, and I was looking at that on Thursday, and I went, I don't remember what that was, you know? So why don't you tell us what that is?
So he emails me and says, do you know what that is? And I said, no. Does it involve a catapult? I was hoping, boing, you know, no.
He thought it was a Cedar Point ride. So.
Well, they could actually develop a ride because they're pretty creative. But we pretty much think of us like Kumon, where Kumon is an after-school program that teaches kids and tutor kids for math and science, math and reading.
Uh-huh.
Well, we focus on teaching kids and tutoring kids on computer programming and the latest technology. We have four major tracks. That's coding, game design, robotics, and digital arts. Digital arts incorporates anything that's visual, such as 3D printing, video production, web development. And we have two locations, one in Manson Heights and one in Wixom.
Manson Heights is just stone's throw from here, right?
Exactly. So we teach kids kindergarten to eighth grade. So we focus on elementary and middle school kids before they get to high school.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because then Matt's going to want to start recruiting them at LTU next. So I mentioned you were on the show today, and he got all excited because they're always looking for new recruits, right, Matt?
Indeed.
Well, we actually have an instructor from LTU. She's awesome.
Okay.
So it sounds like a program you need to work out with these guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll do that off air, though, right?
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right.
So anyway, I'm looking at some of the questions I asked you to submit. You said, "What's the importance of computer science and coding for kids in school?"
Yeah. Well, by this is stats out there by the U.S. Labor Statistic. There's going to be over 2 million jobs that are going to be unfilled that are going to be computer related, and that kind of sparks my interest because I have two kids of my own, a 10-year-old and 11-year-old, and they love gaming. What person doesn't like that now these days? But they like to play games like Minecraft, Roblox, Fortnite now. And my goal was more like a hands-on dad. So when I saw them playing this, I wanted them to do more. So instead of being players, be creators. So I try to help them create the games, and it kind of evolved into, well, now they need to know how to code. And then they like other aspects. Not all of them like coding. They like robotics. My daughter just finished a 3D printing class that was gone for 9 months, and now she's a 3D printer expert.
Wow. Is it sort of like Grand Circus where clearly somebody has to pay? Do the students pay, or how does it all play out?
So pretty much our motto is pay for service. So we have kids come in. They either do classes. Classes is once a week for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. They go year-round. Mm-hmm. That's about $180 a month, from $160 to $180 a month, depending on what level you're at.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. They're a lot, cheaper than music or sports.
I was going to say, it's private music lessons and ballet and
exactly.
all that stuff.
Exactly. And you're more likely, in the return for investments, you're more likely to be an engineer, a game designer, a programmer, and make good money.
Than a prima ballerina, yes.
And, and I know, not to dump on Grand Circus, but their costs are like $8,000
Well, that's a 40-hour-a-week or 50-hour-a-week.
Yeah, right. They're not exactly apple-to-apple due to the fact that they're not only more of a boot camp, but they're also for adults.
Right.
We're focusing on young kids who are loving this stuff and want to get them to the next level. So I was saying that we not only teach classes year-round, but we have camps. Our biggest season is summer camps.
Mm.
So we have camps going around at both our locations and mm-hmm. through our partnerships.
Uh-huh.
And then we have clubs. Clubs, the kids meet once a month. We have a gaming club, coding club,
we
and we also
together,
have a digital club. Digital girls, that girls who love STEM and STEAM,
uh-huh.
we kind of get them involved early on. So those are our three major events and services we offer. However, I should state that we have three business models. One is our teaching at our two locations.
Uh-huh.
The second is that we go out to our schools, libraries, and teach our curriculum.
Hmm.
And we have over 50 partnerships. And the great thing about that is that a lot of kids can't have transportation to come to our location.
Right.
So we go right out to them.
Huh.
But our third motto is something we're very proud of. We always wanted to do nonprofit work, but mm-hmm. we knew that to sustain and to be able to grow the business, we knew we wanted to be a for-profit.
Wow.
But we have a nonprofit arm, which is called Accelerate for Kids Foundation.
Yeah.
What that does is that we get grants and scholarship through companies, corporations like Ford Motor, Google, and then we provide the communities and the schools that can't afford this and provide them that. And we do a lot of those type of work, especially almost a third of our business is nonprofit work.
So I don't know if I asked. I don't think I did. How long have you guys been around, and how many students have you worked with, I guess is the word I want?
So Accelerate Kid pretty much has been around since 2014.
Really?
And we have served over 7,500 kids.
Wow.
And most of our students have not only gone through our program, but they now are coming back and becoming intern instructors.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much assist instructor for summer camps. And that's what we've been telling a lot of the students is that, you know, one thing is about learning it, but what are you going to do afterward? Because we kind of age out at eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So by before they get to freshman year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal was to give them that experience. And now they have something on the resume to say. And I have to point out that all of our curriculums, robotics, coding, game design, and digital arts are STEM.org and STEAM.org accredited. What that means to all of you out there are looking for something credible. We not only teach the technology, but we also focus on the soft skill, the 21st century skills.
Mm-hmm.
That includes storyboarding, team building, critical creative thinking, and presentation skill. So that's all incorporated into our curriculum. So that way, they're not only knowing the technology, but what are they going to do with it from a practical standpoint?
Yeah, with all due respect to our friends, our digital friends, I deal with them all the time, and their personal communication skills for many are not very strong. So I'm trying to dance around that, you know?
Me too.
Sounds too severe, but I mean, they've got their nose buried in their smartphones. They don't really interact much.
Yeah, that's the old joke that an introverted engineer stares at his shoes, an extroverted engineer stares at your shoes.
Yeah, so, that's right.
But they won't look you in the eye. Right. That's right.
And then that is a big part, and we try to make sure that kids are. I mean, one of the difference between us and a lot of the online courses out there is that kids can do this at home. Don't get me wrong. They can do this at home. There's a lot of lessons on there. However, if you think about it, a lot of these kids are already by themselves on the computer, on the tube. How do we get them out?
Outside
and
once in a while, right?
Yeah,
outside.
Interact. Ours pretty much in the four walls, but at the same time, they're also interacting with other kids.
Right.
We try to make sure that there's more than two or more kids in the class,
mm-hmm.
camps, or clubs. So that way, the kids are actually interacting with the others. And when they're building the projects, they're building as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, you're not only going to be the coder, but you could be the designer. You might not be the designer, you could be the developer.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of makes sure that the kids are working together.
Huh.
So once again, we're with Ton Tran of Accelerate Kid. Ton, I wanted to ask you, what's your personal background? How did you come to establish this business? Are you a coder by self? Yeah. You're by trade yourself. Is that how you started?
Yeah, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I would consider myself a serial entrepreneur because I had two software companies. One was a medical record, and then one was a scheduling software company. Sold those businesses and then eventually opened Accelerate Kid. I had this idea for about a year, and I never act on it. And there were other things that were going on at that time. But when I had my own kids and I saw this and I said, I want to act on it now, especially having a lot of friends and family so wanting the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started developing the curriculum along with some friends. But I have a master in electrical engineering, focused more into the hardware side, mm-hmm. and eventually got into the software end. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got into the startup community.
Can you make a living doing this?
Yeah, this is pretty good. I mean, not only that it's making a good living, but I think it's also it makes you proud that uh-huh. these kids are able to pick these things up. Because if you think about it, a lot of these kids are home by themselves, and if we weren't around, they would be, you know, they would probably do this on their own. For us, when we see this and their light bulb pops up, that's when we notice that this, you know, we're doing something. And these kids are coming back and helping us out, interning. We know we're giving them an opportunity in the future, too.
Are there scholarships or assistance available for kids that can't afford this?
Exactly. We actually have two events coming up. And just to your point, we do have scholarships through our foundation. 2% of our revenue from a salary kit every year goes to our nonprofit foundation, along with going and get grants from other organizations. We do have a hackathon that's taking place at the Maker Faire Detroit on July 28th and 29th. Mm-hmm. This is for the inner city Detroit community. Huh. We do differently every year, but this year is for the inner city Detroit community. And we got transportation, food, goodies for all mm-hmm. for them. Got them free tickets sure. to the Maker Faire Detroit. And once they're done with the hackathon for the whole day, they can explore the Maker Faire Detroit at the Henry Ford.
Yeah, make sure your marketing people send me that info. We'll promote it for you.
Yeah, I've got a blog I can put it on too. So yeah, awesome. Definitely. Yep.
Well, I know there will be kids who love to come in here and tell about their success story because they have some businesses.
Yep.
Yes. Well, when we roll out that video platform that Matt alluded to, you'll be able to do that on your own. But I'll fill you in on details later. Coding. I mean, they're really. What percentage of the population do you think is really into coding? I've seen all sorts of numbers.
Yeah. Well, right now, I mean, we're looking at for the state of Michigan alone. There's over. I'm looking at right now some of the numbers right on board is a. I mean, alone by admission itself is a $1 billion industry for job openings, mm-hmm. opportunity for people who want to get into computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
So in regards to that, I mean, like I stated before, the number of job opportunities for computer programmers out there is going to be tremendous. And I think we're moving towards that way where we're teaching kids in high school are getting computer programming lessons, but it starts young. Learning a programming language is like learning a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start them young so that way they can get acclimated with and used to it. By the time they get to high school, they'll be, at least hopefully, they love this stuff so much, they know they're going to take AP classes and do work jobs and work that are related to their field.
There might be some way, Matthew, for them mm-hmm. to work with you folks in Southfield, right?
I was going
to
say, all of those tracks that you've got, we've got analogous college programs, and I would think we could at least get you some volunteer instructors from among our student body. We have both a robotics computer science, the coding end of it, and a robotics engineering hardware end of it program. You know, we've got game design programs. We've got digital design program, product design programs.
Marriage, so, maiden,
so yeah. There's an awful lot of connections there. So I'm going to get you in touch with some of our folks, also the folks who run our summer camps, because I think there could probably be some cross-pollination in there as well.
I love that synergy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and of course, we're big promoters, being tech people ourselves, of STEM, STEAM, whatever you want to call it. We have the A in there for architecture from LTU. You know?
Arts and architecture.
Architecture, yes. Yeah. So arts and whatnot.
Yep.
So.
Yep. All right. Well, Ton Tran, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
So we have a website. It's www.acceleratekid.com. And you can also call us at 844-TECH-ED, which is 844-483-2433. And you can also send us email at hello@acceleratekid.com.
All right. Thanks very much, Tan Tran from Accelerate Kids. We want to thank Tan and all of our guests today. We had Inforum Engage's director, Tim Berchet, in here interviewing Canopy co-founder Elizabeth Michelle. We had Lisa Diggs, the founder of Buy Michigan Now, talking about the August festival that she's having in downtown Northville. It's the first week of August, folks.
That might be a good one for you to get a booth at, too.
Yeah. Go there and check out all the Michigan-based businesses and products. And we started off the program with Airfoil Group's John Pilak, who explained what his new digital team will bring to clients' PR performance on the web. Great show, Mike.
Well, you know, first day back from vacation, you want to start off with a bang, right? Yeah. We were going to launch the Jessica Cam today, but that was vetoed as soon as she walked in the room. So we'll work on her for the audience out there. I know you all want to know what she looks like.
Okay, so we'll be back again next week at 2 o'clock Eastern Time with more of the M-Squared TechCast for right now. I'm Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.